This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those of you listening to 106.7 The Fan, welcome back to the program. If you're listening in Richmond, hi. Welcome. You can hang out anytime with us on the old Odyssey app. It's got a rewind function. Listen live anytime, anywhere. We're also on the YouTubes. Hi, YouTubes. See my dumb face. It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Tobes is in for GP. He's getting a little R&R with the family. Join him down in West Palm Beach, where we just were. We just got back. Did that make sense? I don't know if it did. Either way, we are here. A couple things I want to remind you about. You got a chance to win Nats tickets at 4 o'clock today. We are hot and heavy. Who told you to say hot and heavy? Did you just come up with hot and heavy by yourself? No one said hot and heavy. Why'd you do this? Anyway, Jake Jarmel, you both sleep. We're hot and heavy today with a whole bunch of different stuff. We've got some tournament talk. We'll do that later on in the program. The game's going to get underway tonight. The first four, we'll do all that stuff. This week, we're at Tap Sports Bar, BetMGM. That place is awesome. I love going there. I love broadcasting from there for the tournament. It's one of my favorite couple of days, really 4 days of the year. Most American thing. One of the most unique things in all of sports. Nobody else does this, right? It is so awesome. It kind of captures the attention of the whole country here for the, you know, kind of the perfect time. Nats spring training is winding down. Opening day is next week. We got season preview stuff we're going to do next week. We'll unveil that. There's a whole bunch of things going on, and they're all good. Ovechkin's chasing Gretzky down. As they said on the mound visit in Bull Durham, we're dealing with a lot of bleep, and it's good. So I wanted to do this now and let you know that there was a huge cross-sport set of rankings done. Okay? And it ultimately, I think, was via a couple different spots, but it was like Yelp reviews, Google reviews, kind of like they did what Kayak does for airlines, but they sort of did this review scrape, as I understand it. Right? So I saw this via one of these aggregator type dudes. Right, so I forget who it was. I apologize. I wonder if that is annoying that people don't give you credit for. Anyway, point is, I saw it and noticed it was interesting. All the stadiums, basketball, football stadiums, baseball stadiums, everything you got, they ranked 90 places to watch games, right? Nubs Field, of course, is a place where people go to watch games. Now Northwest Stadium, I guess, whatever it's called. But the place that I will never go, I have no intention of going. Again, I always offer this caveat. If I'm told I have to go for work, which I have been, I will go. I'm not going to make some sort of like court case out of it. But I'm not spending money. I'm not spending my time. I'm not going there voluntarily. It's just not a thing I'm interested in. So of all the different places, think about some of the stadiums where like people are actively leaving that are dilapidated, almost like to a point that it's purposeful. But also some of these rankings I thought was actually really, really surprising in terms of new stadiums that we think of as like state of the art. Like Allegiant Stadium didn't fare very well there in Vegas. Levi's Stadium, which only a handful of years old, right, in San Francisco. SoFi Stadium, the brand new state of the art, blah, 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 there in L.A.
That's interesting.
Didn't fare very well. And then some of the usual suspects that you would think didn't fare very well in this mega thing. Tropicana Field, the Trop. They're building a new place. It stinks. And again, they shouldn't have any games or any teams there in Tampa. But there are a handful of places that, you know, are old. It's their time has passed, but they're still kind of hanging on for whatever reason. So without further ado, I'll kind of give you the caveat here. You know what? I'll do a little drum roll. At the end of this drum roll, I'm going to tell you where Nubs Field ranked. And this surprised me, to be honest with you. I was a little surprised. Last. Now, it's their 90 places to watch sports, and this was 90th.
This was 90th.
If they had 100, it might have been 100th. If it was, if they went around the world, they might have finished even further down. But it's 90. So just to keep in mind, Lambeau 1, some of the usual suspects up the top. Lambeau 1, PNC Park, number 2. Camden Yards, number 3. Oracle Park, number 5. Fenway Park, Wrigley Field. Yes, to all these, right? The Meccas, the not just new, but classic, beautiful architecture, views, sight lines, ease of getting in and out. Just beautiful. It's the fan experience. Nubs Field, last.
Oh, no.
Thank you, Frank. Miss you, buddy. Last. Initial reaction, Tubbs.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Honestly, it does sound about right. It's something that, it's kind of what I talked about where Nats Park and Camden Yards a little bit, just a different example. If they were flipped, right? If Baltimore had Nats Park and out here we had Camden Yards, I would never go up to Baltimore for a game, right? If this stadium were anywhere else and housed any other team other than the football team I watch and cheer for, never. Never. Like, I'm not taking a trip. I've been to Soldier Field. I didn't think it was great. Been to Lambeau. That's incredible. Been to a couple different stadiums. Lucas Oil and Indy. That's great. I'm never going on the road to say, that's the one. The only reason I go to this stadium is because the football team I care about plays there. There is no reason else to go there. Never on the road, nothing.
Nats Park, for the record, a place that I don't think I bash it, but that I've kind of raised my hand a couple times to be like, by the way, it's not that nice. And it's not. They need maintenance, and they've kind of been raising their hand the same way, going, hey, DC, whenever you get a chance, I know you're busy with Ted and football team and stuff, but there's some rust here. We got to fix some of the signage, and I think they've done a refurbishment, and we won't be able to go to the media day that's this coming week for kind of the unveiling, but I think they've done some work to their credit. But still, it's not Camden Yards. It's not PNC. It's not one of these new incredible diamonds. But Nats Park ranks 32nd overall, which I would say is pretty damn good for a kind of no-frills, not that much personality type stadium. 32nd overall is pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, top half for a bare bones
top
ballpark.
Third, really, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing special. It's one of those things, like I went to Comerica in Detroit, kind of same thing. It's like, it's a good ballpark, does the job, nothing that I'm going to complain about too much, but it's also really not that special. But top third, like you said, you'll take that.
I would certainly take that. Again, without any sort of over-the-top sort of sight lines, you can't see the Capitol, there's nothing really
DC about it.
What's
memorable about Nats Park? And you're like, like it takes you a second.
Yeah, like the walk down Half Street's nice. Okay, like that's.
But
it's
not DC anymore. Like
right,
when it was something where you could see the Capitol Dome, it was a little bit different. I understand. I love Half Street.
Yeah, it's
I
parking
love
that garages, all that stuff. Cranes, and a few apartment buildings.
Yeah,
now,
it's,
condos
it's
and stuff.
Just kind of what happens. But yeah, Just lacking a little charm.
Capitol One Arena 70th, which sounds about right.
Yeah, sounds about right
at this stage. So what was interesting, by the way, is down there at the bottom, several of the places are on the new side. Houston Texans, Darius, I'll call you in here. How new is NRG Stadium? It's within the last decade plus, right?
NRG Stadium was built in 2002.
So it's that old? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, okay. It opened when the team arrived.
Okay, gotcha.
In the early 2000s.
All right, so a couple spots there that aren't particularly nice. But it's 90th. And listen, we've done it all. I know what you're probably thinking. This is just another chance for the curmudgeonly jerk that doesn't go anyway to beat up a stadium and make himself feel good. That's not what I'm doing. This came out. This is review scraping from Yelp, Google, TripAdvisor, Facebook. So here's my question. We haven't really talked that much about this. We've been busy with the offseason, which seems like it's kind of slowed down here. If something happens, we'll tell you about it. But we've kind of gone through that first initial wave, the feeding frenzy, free agency, and everybody sort of seems to be focused on draft and draft prospects, Tobes. We're moving towards that phase of it. There'll be supplemental free agency as well to kind of fill some of the needs that aren't there in the draft. But we can kind of now, the season went so long, thankfully, great, NFC title game, yes please, sign me up again, sight unseen. There wasn't much like take a breath, year in review from a fan perspective. We've been doing, very refreshing, football stuff, rightfully so, but from a fan perspective, first full year really of the Harris ownership group being in charge and control. Their personnel now starting to make their way, like the old guard, a lot of the PR folks, and not PR folks, but the high-level business folks are now moving on. They've got their own person in there. Jason Wright, part of the old, is now going to be moving on at the end of his contract. There's a new person in. There's just a new wave of, as you would think, folks that this ownership group chose. So in their first year, I ask you, and Darius, I want your view as well. You guys went to games. I, of course, don't whether it's I'm busy or I don't want to, it's not important. I'm not making this about myself here. They won, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the thing that people are going to care the most about, rightfully so. That's why we're kind of here doing this. But if you can separate that, going to the game, the tangible, controllable things, right? Because sometimes, Zach Ertz doesn't catch the pass in the back of the end zone for a touchdown in overtime against Atlanta, or the kicker makes the field goal and you go home sad.
Sure.
Right? Separate the football part, the on-field, which a lot of people can't do. Separating the football part, the controllables, getting in, getting out, refreshments, lines, bathrooms, in-game entertainment, sound, the whole experience you guys have been over the years, and you went this year, was it better?
I'll say this. My thing when I go to a stadium is I don't really need a lot. I really don't. I know a lot of people want all the bells and whistles, the little frills and gimmicks. I don't care. Can I see the field? Can I see the court? Can I see what's going on clearly? And do I have a comfortable enough space? Like, there are certain spots in certain arenas that I don't love to go because it feels a little cramped. I don't love that, right? Do I have an appropriate amount of space? Am I able to enjoy myself? Do I have easy in and out? That's the stuff I care about. Now,
when you say easy in and out, what do you mean? You mean traffic-wise, or do you mean like get
a little bit of both?
Bottleneck to get in, ticket-wise, or what?
A little bit of both. For example, you know, when I was in Milwaukee, we went to Pfizer Forum, which ranks 53rd on this list, which I would think would be higher. Nice new arena. But there's a specific entrance that we would always go into that was a side entrance, and we were going for a replica ring night after they'd won the championship, and the line wrapped all the way around. And my cousin, I got one because I was working in radio at the time, and they kindly sent one over for us to promote. He didn't get one because it was a long line, something stupid. Like, that sucks, right? Like, there was another usual entrance that didn't have lines, but usually that's good. When it comes to FedEx, like, I thought the ease of entrance wasn't bad, or excuse me, Northwest Stadium. I thought the ease of entrance wasn't bad. I went to two games over this year, the Browns game and the Falcons game. Didn't have a problem getting into the stadium. Getting out of the parking lot is a huge problem. Huge problem. Like, if you want to go back out and tailgate again, you might as well, because you're not moving. I remember I got out of there after the Falcons game, and I think I sat there for at least an hour before I moved. At least an hour before I moved. So it's not great in that sense. But they were winning football games. They just clinched a playoff spot. I didn't necessarily care about that.
Yeah, everyone's happy waiting.
But if it's something where they had lost, yeah, it's going to be a problem there. I would say the main thing for me, Danny, that I ask out of a stadium, regardless of where it is I want a good environment. And I think this year compared to what I went to last year, and that coincides with the winning, so maybe delves into the realm you're not trying to look for here, but when you go back to the Bills game I went to last year, and I think it was week 3, they lost 37-3. Josh Allen had a
and
field
it
day.
That close, yeah.
It wasn't close. It was a little bit rainy at times, and it was probably 50-60% Bills fans, and the environment was not that great. Like, it was cool to hear them sing their stupid Buffalo song. Do that in Buffalo, not here in DC. But this year, going and seeing the common fan re-energized again added a little bit of juice so that, you know, the bare bones stadium, which it really is, there's not lots of frills, there's not lots of endearing parts of it. It was fine because I don't ask a lot. I just want the enjoyable experience of being with a fellow fan, watching a football game, cheering on our team. And I felt that again, which was nice to feel. I don't know how much of that is the team can't really do anything about that other than win on the football field and create an exciting environment, create an exciting team to cheer for. And they did that this year. So I think maybe some of that coming back. But in terms of just the stadium itself, kind of the same.
Okay. So if you had to pick between three categories, better, worse, the same, you'd probably say the same in terms of those logistics?
Yeah, I would say if we're going, I would almost just slightly above the same.
Okay.
Right? Like, if scale of 1 to 10, 5 the middle, 5.5, 6. Like, somewhere right there.
Darius, what about you?
So I'm going to kind of echo some of the same things that Toby says just in terms of what you're looking for out of the experience. I also went to two games this year. I went to the week 2 home opener against the Giants, and then the week 5 game against the Browns. So those are my two games that I attended this year. Both
wins.
Both wins.
One a tight one, one a woodshed game.
Exactly. Right. And in terms of the experience at those games, obviously I had a great time because the team was winning. When you're talking about the stadium itself and the experience within the stadium, I'll say slightly better overall than my previous years of going there to FedEx Field. There are definitely some things that they've done to improve the stadium experience itself once you're in there. You know, some of those things like the quick checkout lines that they have now where you go through the market and you basically, you, You pick up what you want, scan your card, and you go.
You don't have to miss a half a quarter.
Yeah, don't have to miss a bunch of time. Don't have to interact with a clerk or anything like that. Some of those things were definitely better experience-wise. Even some of the upgrades to visually, such as the stadium boards and the ribbon boards and the audio, a lot of those things were definitely improved from years past. You could tell that they invested some money into some of those things to make the stadium experience better than they possibly than it's possibly been. I wish I could have attended one of the night games. I've heard with night games that the LED lighting is really cool, kind of similar to how we went to the Bengals game this year and the Eagles game. We got these cool light shows. They were able to show those things off once they got flexed into some night games later on in the year, so I didn't get to see any of that stuff. But I'll venture on the part of saying slightly better. Another point that Toby brought up was getting into the stadium itself, just like the scanning your tickets and getting in. Probably the most seamless experience has been in years, for sure. It's not, you're not standing in line outside of the stadium.
I think that's so important and underrated.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
So just real quick, Tobes, I'll take you back in. What I want, just we're thinking about what you want in a stadium, that experience. Obviously, like the team winning again, we're trying to separate those things. For me, whatever it is, I just want it to be thoughtfully done.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, what I can't stand is when this is sort of like, we're just going to do this instead of let's have as the best possible plan. Because there's no perfect solution to anything. It's going to take a second to make sure people aren't carrying weapons into the stadium, wherever it is. It's going to take a second to scan your ticket. Or if you have multiple tickets. These things necessarily create bottlenecks and slowdowns. I just want it to be thoughtful. So in other words, let's say at Nats Park, let's say there weren't entrances down the left field side. Let's say there weren't entrances down your right field side, the home plate gate. It was just, you come in through center field. I go, well, that's not very thoughtful. That's not smartly done. That's dumb. Because they have it differently, you go, yeah, there might be some bottleneck for people coming off the metro. But if you go around 100 yards around that parking garage, then you have a much shorter line getting into left center field. And you're walking right in basically to eat hot dogs and tater tots. And you could take your pick. And both are good. There's no wrong answer. You can go heads or tails. And you eat great. And it's fried. And it's really good. But so whatever it is, I want it to be thoughtful. I felt like for so many years at a lot of these venues, it wasn't thoughtful. You know what I mean? Like as long as it feels like you were concerned in any way about my experience. And that's why I stopped going to Nubs Field so many years ago. Like they didn't, it was clear to me they didn't care that I was being screamed at by Cowboys fans, both by selling to three rows of Cowboys fans in front of them, behind me, and in my row. And the whole thing was sort of like to your point. The after game traffic was the worst thing I've ever experienced when they had four offensive yards in a half. And I'm sitting there going, the indignity of all this sucks so much. Where you need the parking attendant is now to direct the traffic. Where is the person helping me get out now? Not to get in there earlier just to collect my $50, but to leave after I've been kicked in the giblets for hours. Tag you back in.
Yeah, I think, you know, the parking situation is probably the big complaint I would have. Getting out is just a disaster. It takes so long. But to Darius's point, I got to go to the Falcons game, which got flexed into Sunday Night Football. And this is my thing. You talk about being thoughtful. Sometimes, even when a team sucks, you can get environment. Obviously, this year, the team was good. But think about when Kyle Finnegan was entering last year in the ninth inning to close out a game when the Nationals were looking for win number 50 in August.
Mm-hmm.
Lights go down, red out. Regardless of there's 8,000 fans or 40,000 fans, you get cheers. Everybody's excited. Here comes Kyle Finnegan to close out the game. That's, you know, organically and kind of manufacturing a little energy in there. The fact that they invested in the LEDs was one of the coolest stadium experiences that I got to be a part of. I was there the first night that they did at Lambeau Field, and it was cool. Or the first night where they turned the lights off and you had the lights off intros. And then the first night that they were doing this at FedEx or Northwest Stadium was really cool. Lights out, and I think either third quarter going into the fourth quarter, they did the same thing. Lights out, and you got people up on the screen. Terry McLaurin, Bobby Wagner get you fired up for the final quarter. Like that sort of stuff. Regardless, even if it were 30,000, 40,000 Atlanta fans, it was still going to get everybody cheering because at that moment, this is a cool atmosphere to be in. They did a good job at that this year, even finding a way. Obviously, a lot of burgundy and gold was back in the stands, but even if it wouldn't have been that way, I think some of the stuff they did was able to manufacture some of that energy they needed.
So I want to hear from you guys. 800-636-1067. If you went to games, especially if you've gone to games before and then you went back this year, obviously they won. It's going to be more fun when they win. You can go to a terrible stadium and watch a win and feel great about it. You can go to an awesome stadium, and it's not as much fun when the team that you want to win loses. I get that. But it's our Grant and Danny's poll of the day, presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. Aside from wins and losses, please try to separate it. I know it's hard to. The logistics, stuff that we're talking about, getting in, getting out, food lines, prices, quality, restrooms, logistics. I mean, to me, a lot of this stuff that Darius was talking about, for example, with the LEDs and the sound, it's only noticeable when it's bad. Does that make sense? You want it to not sound like, why does it sound like the Charlie Brown adult? You know what I mean? If it sounds good, you don't even notice it. That's part of the background and part of the experience. But you notice it when it's bad. You notice when the rail breaks. You notice when the wastewater comes from a ceiling pipe. You notice when something is awry. When it's seamless, it's not a problem anymore. So I wonder, better, worse, or the same? Was your game day experience at Nubs Field better, worse, or the same? It's our poll of the day. It's our question to you guys at 800-636-1067. Times are so different now. Welcome back. Gene D here on The Fan. Toby's in for GP. A Darius Dammer in production today. A couple things I want to remind you of, but our former producer of this good ship, Gene D, Brendan Darr, chirping me a little bit after I left my keys at the Airbnb. He said, glad to see staying at the murder hotel is now only the second worst thing to happen to you in West Palm. You guys sleep on that. No one really knew what was what, which way was up. So then that's a move from Vieira, which was to borrow from this new radio program called The Junkies. I big that acting, right? Vieira stunk. And they moved to West Palm. So the first year we went down there, it's like, well, let's go to West Palm Beach. Of course, let's do that. So we do the whole dance, and the hotel's booked for us, and we show up, and it wasn't a night's in. You know what I'm talking about? It had an IHOP attached to it. And one of the days we didn't have a ton of time, but we had just enough that we could go sit down and grab a quick breakfast. And I told you this when we were down there, Tubbs. The people at this IHOP during breakfast time were stunned that someone would actually come into this IHOP. And there was a table for four, and they looked at us like, here? And, yeah, can we? And they were like, sort of looked around, and the place was empty. They weren't even sure if they turned any of the fryers on and stuff like that. I was like, you know what? We'll go somewhere else. We'll go to a gas station and maybe get a Snickers.
That's embarrassing. That's tough.
At this inn, because there's you know, anyway, many things happened. One was you could hear, the walls are so thin, each room in sequence on this, you know, first floor roadside motel type place, the phone ringing, and it's not like a subtle, like, beep, beep, boop, boop, beep, beep, like whatever. I don't know what sound effect that was. But it wasn't like a subtle little cell phone gentle ring. It's like the hotel phone from one of these ones that's like put into the 80s. Mm-hmm. It's just the screaming, screeching, bald eagle catching prey type phones. And someone go, hello? What? Hello? And then, no. What? No. Hang it up, right? And you're like, well, that was weird. 10 seconds later, your phone would ring. And what you realized was you could kind of hear somebody talk. You heard someone talking to you, but then you heard someone talking in the parking lot. And you realized what they were doing is asking if you wanted narcotics. Mm. If you were interested in purchasing narcotics from them, because they were right there, but they didn't want to use the code words.
Sure.
Or they didn't want to use the actual words for the narcotics. And so I was like, well, this is comfortable. I could see them. And they were then talking about various crimes that they either had committed, were going to commit, or, had been committed there recently. We got picked up in an Uber, and the guy's like, I can't believe you're staying there. He's like, why? He's like, well, they had to close it down for a little while. On account of the murders! I think they were in room 157. It was all over the news. I was like, Brendan, what room are you staying in? He goes, so 157?
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's not great.
I'm going to be honest. We complain. Listen, we're radio people. We're the worst. Mm-hmm. We're the worst people that there are. We're just so entitled and annoying and Correct. Self-important. But we complained like junkies that day. You know what I mean? Imagine saying to EB, hey, do this thankless thing. Right. And just it's after the show's over and it's hours. You got to wait around. You got to drive somewhere and you're going to have to like talk to a bunch of people in public. He would complain the whole time. That's the level of complaint we offered.
I'm not saying we're entitled to much, but staying somewhere where people weren't murdered might be up there.
That's my baseline.
Like, can we at least just not stay there?
Was there a homicide within the last 9 months in one of the rooms we're staying in? If the answer is yes, let's look elsewhere.
Yeah, let's go somewhere else, maybe.
Let's go somewhere else.
Yeah, it was a great time down in West Palm. As our waitress said, there are kind of two sides to West Palm. There's the beautiful, great, then there's the not so great, and there's really no in between. And
really
you guys
isn't.
Were staying in the not so great part.
So. We went to pick up Jack Hicks, the Jack of all things. We went to pick up Jack, and we couldn't believe the Taj Mahal that he was staying in.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah, that's just kind of where the Nets put us up. I don't know. And I'm like, you jerk. Like when we don't show up tomorrow morning because we're dead and you're swimming in the pool like Jed Clampett over there, you'll know what happened.
Have you been hiding a Jack Hicks impression? Where did that just come from?
Was that
from?
A Jack Hicks?
I think you just did a Jack Hicks.
Not a bad Jack Hicks.
Really? Well, thank you. I didn't even know. So many people I want to thank.
You should make a career out of that.
I want to thank Jack Hicks. That's a sidebar. Anyway, all right, so let me wrap up this discussion before we do a little double play piece. 4 o'clock giving away Nats tickets. And this is not just to beat up on the stupid stadium that I won't go to, and I know what it sounds like. Some people are just going to roll their eyes anytime I bring up a stadium. And there's only so much this ownership group and folks can do, and I don't even want to say can do, but maybe even should do. Like, I need you to show that you get it,
yeah.
Right? You're making an effort to improve things as much as they can be improved. I think it's because it's an older building now. It's it was built in the 90s, and it was built in a hurry, and it was this sort of nondescript, concrete, thoughtless, let's jam as many people in as possible. We own the land. Let's make as much money as we possibly can. And it worked for a long time because the demand was so great. That's waned. It's a different time now. I get that. So there's only so much you can do with the structure that's not thoughtfully done. You know what I mean? Like the way the arteries come in for the different roads and the beltway, and there's a lot of stuff that's close by, but it's not thoughtfully engineered.
Yeah, I mean, you're renovating. You're not rebuilding.
Right, exactly.
Like, there's only so much you can do. You've got the structure. You've got what you've got. And I think you're right. Like, at some point, you got to think, is it worth pouring more money in? You obviously have to have it structurally sound. Mm-hmm. You want to have it so that you can get in and out. All the stuff that is necessary for game days, because reality is this new stadium – whatever they want to say is aggressive, like 2030 is the earliest, and that is aggressively early. So you're still going to be there for a half decade or more. But do you really want to keep spending on sound systems all the time? Do you really? You want to make it a good experience, but at some point it's like, well, new stadium's coming sometime soon.
Right.
So I wouldn't blame them at all if at some point it's like, sorry, guys, we were left with something terrible, and this is what we're stuck with.
Now, but again, you have to make a show of telling fans that we appreciate you.
Absolutely.
And one of the ways to do that, I mean, you know, you can give a free thing. You can give a nice giveaway. You can do something for them, for season ticket holders, to make it more worth it than to scalp every game and probably save some money in certain years. Not last year when they're good, then it's in demand. But you do have to make a production of, we are going to pour in this money to make sure you understand. We don't take it for granted that you come here. And I think too often teams fall into that. And again, I hate to just sound like I'm picking on some of the local teams. I'm not at all. I'm just offering my own experience once. Okay.
Sure.
Policies have changed. Things happen. But I had some part-time season tickets with a couple of buddies for the Wizards because I wanted to watch John Wall and Bradley Beal play.
Who wouldn't?
Right. Like back, and they weren't good, and I knew they weren't good. I didn't care. I was like, I live right by there. I lived at 4th and Mass, a couple blocks away from Cap One. And so I would go to like 9, 10, 12, depends on the year, a quarter of the season tickets with a couple of guys. We all kind of rotated, and it was like, hey, yeah, I can go to this game, I'll go Wednesday. But some years I went 15 times, some years I went 8, just depends on what was happening. And they thought, I think, well, I can't remember which year it was, either 2012 or 2013, they thought they were going to be really good. And the price for our tickets doubled. Now, I don't know what goes into it, I'm not, whatever, but that sticker shock was so jarring that I said, well, I'm not doing that. And my point then was, if you would just increased, you know, 8% per year forever, you'd have had me do season tickets for, you know, for life. And one of those things that I just always do, you know, it's $2,000 at this point in the year, you know, write the check to my buddy or write to them, whatever. I wouldn't even thought about it. But because it was a doubling, I went, whoa, I'm not doing that. And the way it felt was you expected me to come. As soon as, like, I'm there when you're bad. Where's you being grateful to me for buying the popcorn to watch a 28-win team? Where's my feeling that you're so thrilled and understand that I'm under no obligation to do this? I have infinite choices for my entertainment dollar. I need to feel special as a fan. It's a long way of getting back to my point, Tobes, of you've got to say, we did this thing with the sound system. We know that in some places, awful, inexcusable, modern NFL stadium. You got to put on a show to do some of those things to make fans understand that, no, we know you have choices and we're grateful for your business.
It's one of those things now where we look back. You know, sometimes you have this in life where you look back, you're like, I knew it was bad. I didn't know it was that bad. Mm-hmm. Like 2 years ago, you knew it was bad. Did you know it was this bad? Like,
right.
Think about where they were, because this is where it's tough for Josh Harris and company. They need to show us as fans that they care. So they need to renovate the stadium. They need to do different things to help out the fans and meet them where they are and even grow the fan base back, right? But they also have to go after the players and help them out. They have to make all these changes. Like, there's literally nothing about this team that was in good shape. The roster sucked. We knew that. Like, I didn't realize it was as bad as it was, but there's a reason why we're talking like, man, they've still got a lot of holes to fill. We've talked about that plenty. They had to upgrade the facility in Ashburn where that stupid green field was there for forever that That's wasn't right. even a real usable thing, and Josh Harris finally ripped that up. That's millions of dollars to do that. They're trying to renovate that facility while also still trying to say, hey, fans, we care about you. We're going to fix up the dump that is Northwest Stadium and make it so that it's not so, so bad. Like, that's a lot of cash. And so, you know, why we talked about, like, how attractive is it to buy this team for a long time, and that's what's so difficult. That you have to spend on not just the players. You have to spend on the fans. You have to think about trying to build this new stadium. More credit to the Harris ownership group for dealing with all of this, because I think once we get out of this dump, once you figure out all this stuff and they've got their training facility up to what the standards that they want, they've got the new stadium, and who knows, this might be a decade from now, but we're going to look back and say, holy cow, it was so far down, and where we are now is nowhere near that.
And the patience, I think, is underrated here. And I used to work in alumni relations where I went to high school. And one of the things that we would talk about all the time is there is a time for fundraising. That has to happen. It's the lifeblood of the school and alums and parents and people, you know, giving to make the school's mission happen impossible. And I get that it's not for everybody, but if you have an affinity for it, it makes sense. The way people give to their college or, you know, give to whatever nonprofits near and dear to their heart. Fundraising was a thing. But there are certain folks where if the only time they hear from us is with our handout, that's the most off-putting thing you could possibly do. And you need to be in the business of friend-raising. Friend-raising over fundraising. And that's kind of what we considered our job in the alumni office. And my old boss, who sadly passed away a couple years ago, was, you know, just an incredible, huge mentor, major, major figure in my life. We talked about that mission all the time. It said the underlying secret is, of course, you'd like to make money off these people at some point, right? We all kind of know that deep down. You know that you're a cash, you know what I mean? That you're a cash machine for them.
Sure, absolutely.
And your devotion and your passion, it's really a way for them to make some money. I guess we all know that deep down, right? But at the same time, if you feel included and part of it and that there's a buy-in and there's some degree of ownership and it's your thing again, which it can never be the same as it was for me in the 80s. The name is different and everything else. We know the whole story. But that feeling of the only time I hear from you is I want money. No. What have you ever done for me? The patience to execute on those things. There's nothing sexy about fixing the practice field. And that's what the Snyder era, I mean, in addition to all the impropriety and bullcrap and nonsense, that's really what it was about to me was if it was sexy, he didn't mind doing it. He didn't mind spending on Albert Haynesworth. He didn't mind spending on the shiny new toy, the new quarterback or whatever, but the getting Carlos Rogers an eye exam, they wouldn't spring for that. bringing in a masseuse so that you know, the old defensive lineman Philip Daniels didn't have to, like, you know, go contract with folks out in the greater Ashburn strip malls. No, like, have your players at the facility. Give them some nice couches. Get a massage room so that folks can, you know, your multi-million-dollar investments can have their bodies taken care of. Just nonsense. But this group did that stuff from start to finish, it sounds like. And hopefully that faucet doesn't turn off, because they still realize, I think, they're in a fundraising moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a couple of years. It's like you said, patience. Mm-hmm. It's something that I think when we get 10 years down the road and they've got a new stadium, wherever it's going to be, they've got their facility and everything, you're going to look back and say, wow, that where they've come from to where they are now is really incredible. But being in the middle of it sometimes, it can be a little bit frustrating. But just have a little patience. I think they're going the right direction.
Double Play is next. Nationals tickets. Your chance. That's right. You right there listening to me right now. You're like, does he mean me? I do. Your chance to win opening day Nats tickets at 4. Our Double Play next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Nationals tickets to opening day, 10 minutes from right meow, on 106.7 The Fan. It's G&D, no GP, but yes, Toby is in, hanging out with you. Show sponsored by our friends at Condorian Morad, exclusive sponsor of this show. They can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, put together a medical power of attorney. Just schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. It's that grown-up stuff, and you got to do it. This is our Double Play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Driven by your local Washington area Honda dealer. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. Tobes, I'm going to incorporate you. You saw it first. I saw it second. But I'm going to talk about it, and then I'm going to tag you in.
Sure.
Netflix, 5 episodes. You already know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
don't you?
So good.
I wonder, without looking at him, do you think Darius is in? Do you think he's watched it or hasn't watched it?
No chance he's watched
it. I bet you he hasn't watched it.
No chance.
I didn't. Now, again, at the risk of touching upon something that might be sensitive to some, I was surprised to see this. I thought it was very interesting to me. During the credits, did you notice who the show was produced by?
I did.
I thought that was very interesting.
Very interesting.
I didn't know that former President Barack Obama and his wife, Michelle, produced documentaries.
They did a really good job with it, too.
I think they did a good job with this one. But again, okay, we're good? Everybody all right? Here we go. That's what happened. I was like, oh, okay. Producing documentaries. That's good. Court of Gold. I'm going to bet against Darius. You're betting against Darius. Darius, have you seen Court of Gold?
I have not seen Court of Gold.
That's what we had in the office pool.
I have not.
Nailed it.
Tobes, I'll tag you in. Go ahead.
It's so good.
So good.
It is so good. So it's a documentary following the Olympics from this past summer with the U.S. team, specifically basketball, obviously, with the U.S. team, and you got the French team, and you get to know these guys a little bit. And I think the good thing that they did about this is I pretty much know everything I can know about LeBron. I don't need to know LeBron anymore. And they didn't focus on LeBron. They didn't spend all the time on LeBron. They talked about these guys. And they talked about each one on the team, obviously, you know, specifically the stars of the team. But you heard from Kevin Durant a lot. You heard from Victor Wembanyama a lot. And that's my big takeaway from this, watching these guys and them battling for their countries and how much it meant to them, is the two guys I come away from it being even more impressed, not just as basketball players, but as dudes. Kevin Durant clearly cares about playing for the United States of America. It's clear and obvious how much he loves throwing on the stars and stripes and being a part of it. You already knew that, but going into this Olympics, which is probably his last, you could tell how much it was, we got to win this thing. The United States just lost in the World Cup or whatever it was, which I don't think we care about, obviously, that much. But they're like, we got to get our revenge. They put together their dream team of sorts, and Kevin Durant was kind of leading that. The other guy that I'm super impressed with was Victor Wembanyama,
yep,
where you walk away saying, you know what? I can root for this guy, and if he becomes the face of the league in a couple of years, which it looks like he might be, I'm totally fine with that because he's got the right mentality. He cares about the game. He cares about winning. And more importantly for this documentary, he cares about winning for the French national team. He cares about France winning for his country. And the thing that scares me, Danny, watching this is I don't know who's taking the torch from Steph and LeBron and KD. Is it Anthony Edwards? Is it Tatum? The next Olympics, which is in the United States, by the way, in LA, would not shock me at all if the United States is not the favorites coming in because some of these teams are getting pretty nasty.
Without a doubt. And so the thing it does a great job of, so if you saw the Redeem Team documentary years ago about the group that came off of the, was the first group that kind of with the reassembled, reinvigorated, we're not just putting a couple of guys together a few weeks before the tournament and seeing what happens. There was a Team USA commitment level that was required. Coach K was in charge of it, and that group was still a lot of the same stars that were there. I think it was in 04, if I got my years right. Young LeBron, young Carmelo, that didn't get to play as much because blanking on the guy's name, old Sixers coach. Oh, it's going to kill
Doug
me.
Doug Collins?
No, I can't remember his name. So forget about it. The point is, he was an old school kind of dude and didn't get along with them real well, didn't like some of the young school guys or new school guys, didn't relate very well. The whole thing was a disaster.
Larry Brown.
Larry Brown, thank you. I kept saying Larry O'Brien in my head, but that's the trophy. So they put the Redeem Team together. And it was really, the thing that stood out for that documentary was the Kobe Bryant element of it. Where Kobe at that point is the king of the league, but these other guys may be more talented or more, you know, were ascending. And they go to Vegas, and they're all working hard, you know, getting ready to play. And they have a couple nights, it was somebody's birthday, and they'll go out. And they're coming back from the club at whatever time in the morning, and they pass Kobe in the lobby on his way to working out. And they all, like, jaw drop, oh, my God. And by the end of the week, everyone on that team was waking up at the exact same time and trying to stay with Kobe and match it. And they all sort of went, that's what it takes. I credit that with part of LeBron's ridiculous longevity. I mean, the fact that he's been able to do what he's done for decades as a 40-year-old is patently absurd. And that's part of it, I really believe. I think that would have been, you know, right around 30-year-old LeBron where maybe naturally you start to slow down and you end up with some records. It would have been really great, and that's fine. But the fact that he's still, you know, 25-8-8 as a 40-year-old in this league is remarkable. This documentary wasn't just about the U.S. The U.S. is heavily involved, but you start to get to know Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Dylan Brooks from Canada, who came off great. The Team France, a little bit of Team Germany, not as much. But the Serbian team around Nikola Jokic, they do such a good job, kind of this Formula One Drive to Survive style of getting everybody in so that you're obviously rooting for the USA and you know how it goes, but some of the behind the scenes to give you some face and a little bit of like 360 panoramic of some of their opponents, the way that they're talking about them with reverence, but also that we're not bleeping scared because this is our game, this international game. It's different than theirs. And the tests that they had to endure just to get there, it is fantastic. 5 episodes, heavy by recommendation, 8.5 out of 10 carbohydrates for me. Give me the Toby rating.
Yeah, I'll go nine. It's just so good. Such good content. And the thing I love about it was good basketball.
Yes, it was.
It wasn't any of this, some of the dumb NBA stuff you watch nowadays. It was good basketball. It was fun to watch. They did a good job, too, of incorporating, like, Serbian team. It wasn't just Nikola Jokic. Like, it was Bogdanovic. You get to know some other guys. For the U.S., everybody's kind of a star. You get that. But some of the behind the scenes with the U.S. team, they didn't just focus U.S. heavy, though, because it's a Netflix doc. Like, they focused everyone. It was brilliant. Really, really good.
So well done. It's the exact right ingredient of all the different things. Heavy buy recommendation on it. Speaking of buy, you can buy Nats tickets to opening day. We're going to give you a chance to win a pair here in 5 minutes. Then we'll blitz next on The Fan.